Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Tuesday on the Out of Sight podcast, it's your host, Adil Royster. Chill ride, chill vibes as always. Kind of chill, kind of disappointed, a little bit upset, a lot of feelings going on. Sixers drop game four, we're tied at two. It's now best of three series with two at the crib. But after last night's game, we should all decompress and have a little therapy session. And who better to help provide with that than our old pal, Steve Littman, Mr. Stevie J. Steve, how you doing, man?
A deal that was not fun.
That was not fun at all.
It sucked. It sucked a lot, and I hated it, and I wish it didn't happen. That's how I feel.
It's one of the rare occurrences where I could have an Out of Sight podcast, which is basically a game reliving, and I promised that I would lay off the whiskey enough to record this podcast after the game. I did my best. I'm not totally lubricated, but I'm a little bit, you know, after Joel Embiid's performance, yes, some alcohol had to be consumed a little bit. And I apologize to the listeners.
I don't blame you.
But that second half from Joel Embiid was absolutely atrocious.
Man, I mean, we haven't seen him look that bad in a long, long time.
Maybe not with, like, his rookie year, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, maybe that, or, you know, there was that game against Toronto where he scored 0 points in the regular season. Or, you know, when he was sick in that Toronto series, one of those. He's so good, so they're very few and far between, so you can remember the other ones.
It was just all bad, like 0 for 12 from the field. And honestly, I don't know if you agree or disagree with this assessment as I was watching it with my eyeballs, but it just looked like he was searching for fouls and not being assertive.
Yeah, so I think that he had no lift, you know, on his jumper today, and, you know, in the lane, I think that he just really didn't have it physically. You know, he went back to the locker room at one point and was getting treatment. And I think when that happens, you know, he can fall into some habits which are either forcing shots or trying too hard to get foul calls. You know, tonight Joel shot 8 free throws, made them all. But that's like half the amount of free throws that are usually takes. And I think the reason that he took so few is that he just didn't have the energy or the lift at all to score in this game. You know, he had a really effective first half.
Very effective.
In the second half, he just couldn't get anything going. I mean, he played solid defense. He had 21 rebounds. But, you know, he also didn't get a ton of help from his supporting cast down the stretch, which just made it, you know, it was really hard when you're star player around whom everything is built, you know, goes over 12 and a half, it's really hard to win a game, and they lost by 3. So, you know, it's not hard to see why it happened.
As far as contributions from the supporting cast, right, Tobias has still been really steady. He got 20 points last night again, and that's kind of been his mantra for this whole playoffs. Like, you can just count on his 20 points. And Seth Curry came in with 17, had a really hot first half, and then almost rimmed in the game-tying three, which would have sent the game to overtime. But outside of that, you know, Ben Simmons had 11 and 12 with 9 assists. Furkan had 10 points. Like, there wasn't too much going on for the Sixers offensively from the starting lineup, and the bench wasn't that much better either.
You know, the issue you run into here is if, like, before the game you say Joel's going to have a bad game, he's going to score 17 points, which is basically half of what he's averaging in this series. And he's not going to even make a shot in the second half, then you really need other guys to step up, you know? And that didn't happen. You know, Tobias didn't score in the fourth quarter. Ben only made one of his five free throws, which is obviously a real issue that, you know, I don't know if there's any solving, probably not.
That's going to be a take things. Tomorrow.
I mean, you just need one of those things to break your way, and none of them did. And I really thought there's such momentum, you know, they're on the road and there were big momentum plays in the second half, especially from John Collins, who had five offensive rebounds. And
yeah,
it seemed like it was really hard. You know, the Hawks didn't even shoot the ball well in this game at all. You know, the Hawks shot 36% from the field and 30% from three. It just really came down to, you know, the Sixers having guys miss a bunch of shots and the ball going the right way for Atlanta down the stretch. And, you know, they had Doctor up a great play at the end of the game and Joel had the layup right there and he just missed it. So, you know, I'm sure that he's going to be kicking himself for that. And I'm sure that he's, you know, determined to avenge this sort of performance on Wednesday.
There are two little lineup quirks that I kind of wanted to bring up. Obviously, we got to talk about Furkan in the starting lineup. I don't know if that is the idea going forward. Like, I feel like he's much more of a bench guy. Would you agree with that? Like, I don't know. Like, he just seems way more confident coming off the bench.
He's such a feast or famine guy, you know, like when his shot's going in, he's a really helpful player on this team. And I think that something they're looking at with Danny going out is that they like guys who shoot a high rate of three pointers and Danny shoots a bunch of threes and isn't shy about them. And it's the same with Cork, but he just doesn't provide much else for you. You know, he's not a necessarily poor defender, but he's average at best. But your ceiling isn't too high with him out there. It's hard. You know, in this series, I don't hate trying Korkmaz because then you make, you know, Trey Young defend somebody, you know, where if Thibault was in there, Trey would basically just stand around. I don't know that there's a perfect option. I think, you know, going with Thibault might be an interesting idea. You know, it's basically Thibault, Milton. George Hill hasn't really played well, so I don't expect him getting the bump. But I think it's probably Furkan or Matisse and, you know, as we've seen this season, Doc's going to ride the hot hand. So whoever's playing well is going to get the minutes down the stretch. And there just weren't too many guys playing well tonight for the Sixers.
The Hawks, after being almost out-rebounded by Embiid and Simmons just by themselves, you know, at the end of the first half, the Hawks had 23 total rebounds. Ben and Joel had 21 by them, just those two. They switched to this larger lineup with Capella, Collins, and Gallinari. And I feel like that kind of threw off the rhythm a little bit, like in the paint and also, you know, kind of on the boards a little bit because you have to switch it around. Because if you have Simmons guarding Trae Young, then one of those three guys is going to have a pretty impactful size mismatch.
Yeah, you know, They can screw around with that stuff. And I know that they feed Gallo in the post and he can make some plays out of there. I just really feel like if the Sixers get effective Embiid minutes, they're winning the series. And I still expect them to win the series. I think lots of people do. But they'll win games. As long as Joel is effective and halfway, you know, himself, they'll be totally fine. It's a game like this where he is just awful. That it's really hard to overcome. And then when other guys don't pick up slack. So yeah, I mean, Kevin Herter started for Atlanta. I expect that to continue and it's hard to find who Seth guards in that starting lineup because Bogdanovich scored pretty well when guarded by Seth tonight. And Herter was killing him earlier in the series. So I think that's, you probably just live with that because it'll, you know, Seth will score well too. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I wrote in the recap that just went up that the biggest bummer about losing this game or, you know, retroactively losing game one is that you don't know how much Joel you have in this postseason. You know, like you just don't know how much that knee is going to let him out there. So to mess around and lose a game like this just feels painful, you know, to extend the series by a game.
And this game, it's pretty easy to identify, not to necessarily put blame on him, but it's pretty easy to identify like what went wrong tonight. And I know people are going to talk about Doc and maybe some of his adjustments or the fact that Ben Simmons was 1-5 from free throws. But I mean, honestly, and I hate to do it because we all love Joel, but 0-for-12 that in the second half and just looking out of gas and just, I know he's hurt and I know you're in pain, big man. I know you are, but the whole 7'2", 280-pound guy looking for foul shots or foul calls in the second half, that's just not something that's going to get the job done.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is what you signed up for when you're a superstar. And I think that it's more than fair to point out Joel having a terrible half, which he really did. Of course, we all know something that could be hindering him, but you know, he's playing through it and he's been incredible. I think he's been the best player in the playoffs. But you know, when you have a game like that and you miss a layup at the end of the game like that, you're going to get criticized and you deserve to. And I fully expect him to come back and be himself again. But yeah, no, I mean, if you're looking at the reasons the Sixers lost this game, it's because their superstar and the runner-up for MVP didn't hit a shot in the second half. You know, that's the reason they lost the game. You know, we can talk about Tobias not scoring in the fourth quarter, or Ben missing a couple free throws, and listen, those things could have masked this one and given them a win. But at the end of the day, you need your best players to play like themselves, and Joel didn't tonight.
Doc in the post game did kind of mention how from the first half to the second half, they got away from ball movement and kind of resorted to hero ball. And you could kind of see the difference because in the first half, that ball was moving around so crisp. And it's what led to the ballooning almost 20-point lead. And in the second half, it was just Embiid, Tobias, whoever, my turn, your turn, etc. And that's just not going to work.
Yeah, and I thought Seth bailed out a bunch of bad possessions that they had.
God.
Seth shot the ball so well and was making contested jumpers. And I think that, you know, a lot of poor offense that they ran was masked by just Seth coming up with 2 points at the end of the possession. So I agree with that assessment. I saw another quote where Doc was saying that, you know, the Sixers were outplayed in terms of playing hard. And, you know, I think there's no doubt about that. I think that Atlanta had some guys really going all out in this game. And I think it shows. I mean, John Collins was a +9 in a 3-point win. He played 37 minutes. That's pretty big, you know?
I mean, we almost had a Shake Milton game 2 kind of game. We almost had a remix of that, but it just came up a little bit short. It's not all gloom and doom, right? We just have to figure out two things. One, what's Joel's health? Like, that's the first thing. We got to figure that out, like, right now, like, tomorrow. When we get back to Philly, figure out what the heck is wrong with him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, everything, as always, hinges on Joel. So, if he's out there and if he's himself, I think, you know, the sky's the limit. Of course, if it's anything less than that, or if, God forbid, he's out at any point, then, you know, we know what we're looking at here. But no, it's not all doom and gloom. You know, the Sixers will go home. They're great at home. You know, they'll have to win game 5. And then I'm sure they don't want to play game 7 against Atlanta. You know, I'm sure.
Absolutely not.
Even though they have it at home. Exactly. So you would think that, you know, they'll try to take care of business at home in game 5. And then, you know, on, I believe it would be Friday night, go back to Atlanta and just come out of there with a win. And I really do think the Sixers are the better team. And if the players play like themselves, you know, mainly Joel, then I think they'll be just fine.
This is the last positive that I'm going to take out of this game. It took Joel Embiid's absolute worst playoff game ever for the Hawks to win this game, and they only won by 3.
Yeah.
I'm
telling you, man, if Joel didn't have a torn meniscus, I would be pretty like fine with dropping a game like this. He played like crap, and you know, the only thing I'd really worry about tonight, you know, overall, is that you're going to add another 35 minutes of playing time in the Atlanta series for Joel, which stinks. And I wish they could have pulled it out, but now they'll have to go at least six games here and try to move on to the next round.
Well, we'll just have to see what happens. It's now best of three with two at the crib. So I still feel pretty damn good. It's like I said, the Hawks only won this game by three, and they did so because Joel had his worst playoff game ever. So two or three at the crib, I'm fine with that. If Joel totally is fresh and like moderately healthy, 70% Embiid with his head like back in the right place and aggressive and all like that, that's fine. I'll take the Sixers two out of three in that.
I agree. I think, you know, and then you're looking at the other series in the East, which is also 2-2 at this point, Milwaukee and Brooklyn. And I was hoping the Sixers would, you know, be able to log a few days of rest on those guys. And, you know, maybe if that one goes seven and we go six, maybe we still can. But obviously right now it's a best of three. So the Sixers have to win two here. I expect them to, you know, they just have to manage Joel as much as they can. But yeah, you know, as long as he's going to be out there and looking like the guy that he was in the first three games in the series and, you know, the five before that, I'm very confident in what they can do.
Let's just have one blowout win in game five and get some and get the man some much needed rest. And let's make the gastroenteritis blues happy with some more playoff B-ball Paul minutes.
That would be great. And I will say the Gastro Blues will be at game five. So
really,
we refuse to leave the arena. Yes, we refuse to leave the arena without a win.
Yeah. That's saying a lot. Like you're just gonna be sitting there on the floor just waiting until, you know, if they lose game five, you're just gonna be sitting there waiting for game seven. You're just gonna stand in the arena.
Yeah, we're gonna handcuff ourselves to like the frosty freeze out signs and just not leave.
All right, let's close on a little just a little side note. As you're all aware, the Gastroenteritis Blues is your nonstop shop for Sixers basketball and Bachelor Talk. So right. I have not watched the first two episodes yet. You can spoil all you want. That's fine. Who's looking good for Katie this season?
Well, as I remember, you had a particular affinity for Katie, so I'm surprised that you're behind on these two episodes.
You know, I've been wrapped up in other things. What can I say?
I hear you.
I'm also a little bit bummed that I wasn't able to contend for Katie's heart. That would have been nice. What the hell, ABC? I submitted my application. What the hell?
All I will say is that there's a guy named Andrew S. who I'm very high on and who Emily has said looks like Giannis, which he does. Their faces look very much alike.
So, oh wow!
I'm rooting for Andrew S. He's an Austrian football player, and I think he's good. So that's who I'm looking out for. But I'm looking forward to you catching up so we can get up to speed.
I will get up to snuff on that tomorrow because how else am I supposed to cheer up after commiserating in misery for the rest of this evening?
Exactly.
Stevie J, always a pleasure having you on the podcast. Maybe hopefully next time it'll be under better circumstances, happier circumstances. And there's not much else we can say. Sixers.
Bad loss. Everything will be fine.
Game five is tomorrow. Everything's fine. Everything's good. At the time of this podcast, we don't know the status of Joel Embiid, so it could be completely worse by Wednesday. But
in that case, everything is not fine.
Yeah, we'll remain hopeful for now. We will remain hopeful for now. Steve Littman, host of the Gastroenteritis Blues, one of the hosts of the Gastroenteritis Blues. I'm sorry for just not giving Emily and Dan.
I liked it. On that, I thought it was good. Yeah.
You can also find Steve Littman on Liberty Ballers, his stuff always out there. And of course, much like everybody else on planet Earth, he's also on Twitter at Steve J. Littman. Oh God,
thank you, buddy.
I can't not say this again, but damn, this game sucked.
This was cathartic, though. I wish they were playing again now. I'm ready to, you know, get rid of this game.
Can we just go down to a basketball court and just put some shots up right now? I know it's 11 p.m. at the time of this recording, but like, F it, I don't care. It's raining.
I agree.
It's cold. Let's just go. Screw it. Whatever. I'm going to find a basketball court and put some shots up. Stevie J.
All right, man.
Talk to you soon, buddy. And Wednesday night, things will look up.
Thanks for having me on, brother. Appreciate
Always
it.
A pleasure.